ॐ अज्ञानति मनन्दस्य विनाशलक्य चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वायं रूपा कदामयं तदपि स्वपदन्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदपद्मं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणवन्दितं वितन्तं सजीवं सद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनाश्रितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदं सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखवितंश्च हे कृष्ण करुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिककन्द राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरी राधे कृपालेश्वरि विश्ववाणी ब्रह्मायते पञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यः कृपा सिन्धुमेव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासनो भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे We already discussed so many boats, but I think the first one is the Jaladutta. It all begins with the Jaladutta, with Srila Prabhupada crossing the ocean and carrying with him the unalloyed pure devotional service. No compromise at all, not watered down, but pure. And that pure devotional service Srila Prabhupada brought to America. When he came, at first he was thinking, what will I say to these people? How can I convince them? And he said, I have no words that I can think of to convince them. The only thing I can think of is your words. And then he began to recite verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. Srinivata Swakata Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtanam Ridyanta Stovi So that this transcendental sound enters into the heart. Some of you from India may remember that there used to be a man who would come around at the beginning of the winter with a big bow, and his bow walking in the street and makes this sort of sound, but very loud. People then would bring their old quilts, and he would open it up, and by the string of the bow the cotton would fluff up, and again it was good for another winter. Of course nowadays no one uses that anymore. But sometimes such a bow is called vidunati, and vidunati is referring to the sound vibration which makes loose all those things that were caked in the heart, all the sinful activities that have been in there for a long time. They become loosened by this transcendental sound. So Srila Prabhupada had full faith in the holy name and full faith in Srimad Bhagavatam. And it was on the strength of these two, of the holy name and Srimad Bhagavatam, that he was founding his mission with great conviction. He was carrying with him some translations of Srimad Bhagavatam, printed form, first canto. And he began his chanting. Still in New York City, we can find in Tompkins Square Park, we find that tree. We find that tree, and there is a sign on the tree, it says Hare Krishna tree. And next to it, on the roadside, there is a bigger board which explains, this is the place where His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada started his movement, also known as, you know, or ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, also known as the Hare Krishna movement, by inaugurating the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra under this elm tree, and famous elm tree. So it is a very nice tree, and in Vrindavan there are some devotees, they spend their time hugging trees. Of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did that. When he came to Vrindavan, he embraced all the trees because he saw all great devotees in these trees. But I was, being Dutch, you know, and in Dutch, in Holland they say, just act normal, that's crazy enough. So, you know, I kind of couldn't, you remember that, right? Yeah. And I could kind of, I never did it in Vrindavan, hugging trees, you know. But this time I was in Tompkins Square Park and I thought, let's do it, you know. So I gave that tree a serious hug and I prayed for power to spread the holy name all over the world, right? And to spread this Krishna consciousness everywhere. As I opened my eyes and I turned around, there's a boy standing behind me and he says, what do I have to do to become a monk like you? So, that tree is a kalpa vriksha. It is a kalpa taru, a wish-fulfilling desire tree from the spiritual world. I think that tree, particularly, there's two options. Either it came just there to be with Prabhupada from the spiritual world. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that just by Srila Prabhupada's presence, that tree was transformed and became a desire tree. Because this is the nature of the pure devotee. That the pure devotee can transform ordinary trees or ordinary living beings, ordinary human beings, in wish-fulfilling desire trees. That is a Vaishnava. Pancha kalpa tarubhyacha vipasabhubhyayivacha pavitana paranevya vaisnavevya namam namaha. All the wish-fulfilling desire trees who are here on board of this ship can fulfill the desires of everyone because they are full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls, and thus we are offering our obeisances to them. Why is it so? Because we need blessings. We need their blessings. We need the blessings of all of you. That is actually the situation. Because without blessings, one cannot not progress at all. That is not possible. It all begins with blessings. Spiritual life always depends on mercy. There is no question of inventing one's own spiritual life. That is the business of the Ravanas and the Hiranyakasipus. Ravana, who was trying to build a staircase to the heavenly regions, but it fell over in due course of time because that is impossible. Hiranyakasipu, he also wanted something that was impossible. He wanted to be immortal. But to be immortal is not so easy. I mean, so far we haven't met anyone who did it. But Hiranyakasipu thought he could. He performed austerities. Lord Brahma appeared and Hiranyakasipu asked for this benediction of immortality. And Lord Brahma said, but how can I give what I don't have? I myself am mortal, so how can I give you immortality? Ask another boon. So then Hiranyakasipu thought, he's trying to trick me. So he thought, but I'll trick him. He said, okay, then give me benediction that I will not die in the day, in the night, not on the land, not on the water, not in the air, not on the ground, all these things, and not by any weapon, not by any of the devas. And like this, he had a full list, which he thought was foolproof. He thought he had covered every reasonable cause of death, and he did. But the Supreme Lord appeared in an unreasonable form of half man, half lion, something that without the realm of normality, of what we can conceive. We can think there are lions, there are giraffes, there are rhinos, and there are whales, and all these things, but not half man, half lion. But there are. The Lord can take any form he desires. So Krishna ultimately outsmarted Hiranyakasipu, who then encountered mortality. But that was a blessing. The other day I also spoke about this point of immortality, and then I remembered a story of Simone de Beauvoir, which is about a man who in the Middle Ages discovered the elixir of immortality in a glass bottle. He had it and he drank it. He said, now I am immortal. But he said, how can I be sure that it works? So he decided to test it on a mouse. So he gave the mouse also some of this elixir, and then he put the mouse in some contraption and crushed it. And next moment, whoop, the mouse was back. So then he realized, I am immortal. I am immortal. And the next thought was, and now I have to live forever with a mouse. Anyway, so it carries on. And then he got married and family and everything, and he loved his wife dearly, but not that much that he was ready to give her eternal life, thinking like, I mean, live with her forever, I'm not sure. And, so he didn't give her the elixir. So after some time she died, and the children were waiting for the old man to die, and he didn't. I mean, the inheritance, it just didn't come. So it was getting a problem. So at one point they put some little rat poison in his lunch, but it had no effect. He outlived them all. Yeah, so then at one point he has lost all interest in life. And he sits there in some sort of asylum, just looking in front of himself, and with his immortality he has just condemned himself to eternal hell, basically. So immortality in the material world is foolish. Who wants to be in a material world forever? Material world is a transit lounge, just like you like Mr. Bean movies, I sometimes watch them also. And there was one where Mr. Bean, he comes in his little mini, gets out, and goes into the reception of a hotel. And there is, on the counter, there is some bell, you have to hit on it, and then it goes, so he goes, ping, 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 ping. And then some man appears and they show him a room. It's all the way in the top of the hotel under the roof. And then, okay, Mr. Bean is alone in the room, and He opens his suitcase. And he takes out this Black and Decker drill. And he starts like... drill holes in the wall of the hotel room. Mr. Bean, you know? Anyway, screws and hooks and all these things. Then he pulls out paintings of his suitcase and he hangs the paintings. And he has a flower vase, you know, with some paper, some artificial flowers he puts there. And finally, there's a sign, home sweet home. Ah, yes. Then, just as he wants to get comfortable, he realizes that there is no door to the bathroom. So he looks, and it's a common bath, but it happens to be next to his room. So, saw blade, he puts a saw blade on the Black and Decker, and cuts a door out of the wall, fixes that, locks the bathroom from the inside, and then closes the door, puts on his sleeping head, takes his teddy bear, and tucks himself in for the night. So, it's ridiculous, of course, because he's treating a temporary situation, a hotel, as if it's a permanent one. That's the whole situation. So we are Mr. Bean, we're all treating a temporary situation as the permanent one. And that's actually what we are doing in this. This inclination is there. And so, we are here just on our temporary seats. A boat is very temporary. Srila Prabhupada explains, when you go in a boat on the ocean, you're not in your natural element. He said you're not in your natural element, and therefore there is special danger. Therefore, in the beginning, you get announcements, welcome on board, ladies and gentlemen, and the life vests are right behind me. So I'm okay. And I go out of that window, and you know, those who are overweight might have a little problem fitting through there. But I'll be fine. And then I'll figure it out. So escape route already planned in, right? In the whole program, just in case. So, no problem. I'll be the first one out. Yes? So, it is like that, you know, in the material world. We are not in our natural element. And we must never forget the way out. We must always think about that. Whatever we do, yeah, of course, you know. I mean, I'm not sitting here with the life vest already on, and you know, it's not that bad. Probably it's not going to sink. But the point is that we must always be ready to go back to Godhead at every moment. That is our position. At every moment, we must be ready, alert. And how can we be unless we use every moment for Krishna? It's not possible at the end of life to remember Krishna if we never invested in Krishna, then it will not be possible. Only if we always keep that in mind, then yes, then we can cross this ocean of nescience and go to the spiritual world, where life is very blissful, where, well, Jiva Goswami is saying, he said, what is a forest when no one plays? What is playing when no one plays a flute? What is a flute if it doesn't touch Krishna's mouth, and in this way, in the forest of Vrindavan, there is always Krishna. Everything is related to Krishna. Water means water pastimes with Krishna. Water means the Yamuna. Wherever there are anything, it is always related to Krishna. And Krishna is always in the center. Even here, it is like that. But this is when Srila Prabhupada came across the ocean and brought his Bhagavatams and his on the Jaladuta. He himself had designed the dust jacket of the book, and he had drawn a sketch of the spiritual sky, and then the printer had made it obviously streamlined and so on, and we see that, and later the same design, a little bit more artwork in it. Comes back on the new edition of the Bhagavatam. And we see there Goloka Vrindavan. We see there the spiritual sky, the Brahma Jyoti, the effulgence of Krishna. And then we see the Vaikuntha planets with all the various Narayan forms with four arms and holding the conch, the disc, the lotus and the club. In different positions, in their arms. In this way, we are seeing these Vaikuntha planets. Then we see Lord Mahavishnu resting on the causal ocean. And we see how from the poreholes of his body, unlimited universes appear. And we see how in these universes they fill up with water, and Lord, from the body of Garbhadaksaya Vishnu, who is then lying down on that ocean again. So again an ocean, and then lotus from the navel of the Lord, and then Brahma finding himself. And Brahma is seated there in darkness on that lotus, and he's thinking, where am I? And how did I get here? What is the cause of my existence? What is the purpose of my life? These questions he's asking. And in order to answer them, at one point Brahma is thinking that it might be intelligent if he goes down the stem of the lotus to see where that lotus is coming from, and that might give him a clue. But as he comes down to the base of that lotus, all that he sees is a vast, vast ocean of water. And it is just a drop of water that is in the navel of Garbhadaksaya Vishnu. So it is just a little water in the navel of the Lord, and to Lord Brahma it looks like an unlimited ocean. Then Lord Brahma performs austerity and begins his creation. And as he begins his creation, he creates the various planets within the universe in their positions and different living beings. And then he begins to create different oceans. An ocean of milk is there. There is an ocean of milk. There is an ocean of liquor. There are oceans of ghee. And of course, oceans of salt water, which we have here. So like that, all throughout, we find the ocean throughout in the scriptures, as even in the spiritual world, Dwarka is there, And with Dwarka, also ocean is there in the spiritual world. In that way, we are... Carl Jung has spoken about archetypes. Archetypes, he has spoken about how we have natural connections with elements of nature, like, and how with the ocean we have a natural connection. That is a fact. There is no doubt about it. And it all has its roots on the spiritual platform, in the form of oceans such as the causal ocean. One drop of that causal ocean comes into the universe and it becomes the Ganga. And as that drop, because Vamana Dev had cracked the shell of the universe with his toe, and then that drop came in, and as the drop came down, the demigods, they were catching the Ganga in golden pots, and they carried that water on their heads and brought it down, and then emptied their pots. Then Ganga came down further towards earth, and as it came down towards earth, of course, it came with great speed and forth, and there was fear that the earth would be crushed, and Lord Shiva caught the Ganga on his head and kept it in his hair. That's Maharaj Bhagirathi performed tapasya, and Lord Shiva released the Ganga, and Maharaj Bhagirathi rode on his horse, the Ganga followed, and so on. All that is there. Then it says, in the heavenly regions, on the upper planetary systems, the demigods, they are aware of the nature of the Ganga. They know that the Ganga is spiritual. And they know that the Ganga is liquid mercy. Therefore, the demigods catch the Ganga in these kumbhas, in these pots, because they want to be part of distributing the mercy. That's why they carry the Ganga. They know that if we are part in distributing the mercy, then by carrying it ourselves, then we will also share in the benefit of giving out this mercy. Meanwhile, on the middle planetary systems, those who are pious, they take their bath in holy rivers, such as the Ganga, Yamuna, the Saraswati, the Krishna River, so many other holy waters. So, Kumbh Mela, so many millions go to take their bath in the Ganga. So, then Ganga goes down further. Ganga also goes down to the lower planetary system. In the lower planetary system, nobody knows. Ganga is there, but nobody knows what it is. It's just there, and they get mercy from it, but they don't know. They don't know. So it's the same. It's the same with the holy name. Those who are carrying the holy name, and those who are distributing the holy name, they are getting the most mercy. Those who are sort of taking it for themselves, for purification, they also get a lot of mercy. And then those who have no idea what's happening, I don't know what people are saying, but some people out there must be saying, hey, the Haris, right? There's the Haris going, because it must be loud, what comes out of a boat like this. It must be really loud. It must reach far. I'm sure that in the houses on the shore, they hear the kirtan. Absolutely. Kirtan goes quite far, and over the water, sound goes further than on the land. So, in this way, yes, we're not just chanting for ourselves. If we would just sit here on a boat for ourselves, do a little chanting, then have a picnic, that would be a little dry, in spite of all the water. It would be a little dry. But when we think that there are people out there, some sinful fishermen who are getting delivered, and even the poor fish, right, who are being caught, are fortunate when they just pulled out of the water, when the holy name is sounding there, and they just leave, and they get a great blessing in that way. So it is so nice to have a ship filled with blessings. Everyone needs blessings, and we need blessings. And this is our, actually what's going on. It's a ship loaded with blessings sailing around the harbor. And therefore, chanting is our main program, and lunch is at 1 o'clock. So there still is time for a little more kirtan. But if someone has a question, I'll try and answer. No, if no question, then we're forced to chant a little more. Terrible. Okay, question, yes.
You mentioned about oceans of milk and honey and all those.
Yeah. Bees.
So how do we accept all this? We accept it blindly, or do we have any to help us understand this?
How can we accept all these things? Are we accepting this blindly, or what can we do to help us understand this? Well, Atmavan manyate jagat, that we see the universe from our own position. We have that tendency to just think, well, what we know, that's normal. And anything that we don't know, how can that be? That's not possible. No, no. I've never seen things like this. That cannot be. But Srimad Bhagavatam goes beyond of what we can see, goes beyond this world. And Srimad Bhagavatam actually describes the other planetary systems where the conditions of life are very, very different. Like yesterday, we were talking, and somehow or other it came to earthquakes, and I told them a story that I was in a room in Mayapur, in the top of a building, and suddenly at 6 in the morning, it sounded as if someone was trying to come through the wall with a sledgehammer. Yeah? Banging on the wall, serious. I mean, whoa, who's coming, you know? And next moment, the wall cracked, and then the floor cracked. And all the tiles, the marble, stood up like this. Oh, I flew out of the room. I got wings, and I was able to. I was quick. But anyway, that was an earth tremor, you know, earthquake, and causing the floor to crack. Yeah. So, okay, we were talking a bit about earthquakes, and then it says that actually the earth and the planetary system is resting on elephants, yes, and that when the elephants, they start get a little itchy or like scratch the back or move, that then you get earthquakes. Now, are you a believer? Or are you doubting? Huh? Just testing, huh? Just testing to see how serious you are about Krishna consciousness. Huh? Are you ready to put your faith in Srimad Bhagavatam? Prabhupada was. They didn't go to the moon. I saw it, Kuma, you saw it on TV. We saw it, huh? We saw it. Those who are little older, they must have seen it. We saw the first man in outer space, and then on the moon, everything. The whole world saw it. And Prabhupada said, they didn't go. And some people found it hard to believe. But they didn't go. And they said this, the rocks on the moon were exactly like the rocks in the desert of Arizona. And Robert said, just see, that's where they made the movie. Okay, we chant 10 more minutes before Prasanam. Meanwhile, the kitchen crew can sort of...